episode two.
Episode two. We didn't really think about a name, but what about learning how not to build an agency?
I'm okay with that.
How about that?
Learning how not to build an agency.
Yeah.
All right. So I think, yeah, on episode one, I had made the mention about, you know, leaving and, starting our own firm.
Cough break.
And how we kind of started to get that vibe of learning.
Can we call that a cough drop?
Cough drop. I like that. Yeah. See, that's some smarts are happening on episode two here. No, about making the mention about not learning anything anymore and learning more of what not to do instead of learning how to do things, right? And a lot of that takes place in large agency land, right? So I think I'm going to ask you the question, Rob, like what not to do or any funny large agency stories about, you know, interesting experiences or strange clients or whatever pops to mind in terms of how not to handle things.
Sure. And I think when you think about this education that we were both getting, neither of us, well, I know, speaking for myself, I had no idea at the time I was learning what not to do. Like,
yeah.
I didn't file it as I'm acutely aware that I'm
Agreed.
Getting an education right now.
Agreed.
So this is, I'll go back to when I was working media for a large agency in town. And it should be noted that this was one of the, I guess, largest two agencies in town. I think it's important just from a size perspective.
Yeah.
And I think we had, you know, four floors at the time in this building and
legit
and bodies everywhere. And so I remember when I first got there, I went to my floor, which was the media floor.
Yeah.
And, you know, they gave me the tour of all the different floors and all the different,
is it the bottom floor?
All the different, oh, of course. Yeah. We're the media guys and gals. We were on the bottom floor.
Yeah.
Put the creatives up top. Actually, no. Put the English account, account planners, strategic planners,
for
at the
sure.
top. And I remember going through the agency and just being floored by like, wow, this is so big and all these floors,
so many people.
This is amazing. Like, what an incredible machine to be a part of. This is amazing. But then I started to learn that like, I was making friends in the creative department and other departments. And in order to go talk to the account people, I had to go take an elevator and go to a different floor.
That's weird.
Of course I could pick up the phone,
but if
you wanted to go meet with somebody or have a conversation, you had to go to a different floor to go talk to somebody.
It is kind of weird to think about being in the same building though and even calling people.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
And so lots of folks, and so that was kind of, again, in hindsight, it's like, wow, there's a physical inefficiency there, right?
It's
and a time inefficiency, I think.
Yeah, I mean, when I worked at Turner, I mean, I didn't talk about this last time, but I mean, when I worked at Turner, I mean, you've got CNN, you got all, I mean, there's buildings all over Atlanta, that to me makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Cartoon Network is on fourth floor, and these guys are on this and that. But within the same company, it kind of feels very large and...
So that was one point for me. And then there was another point where it was, I mean, we had massive, massive accounts.
Yeah.
Napa Auto Parts, Bell South Mobility, back when that was a thing. Simmons Mattresses.
Yeah.
Big stuff. And when you lost one of those accounts or the agency lost one of those accounts, it was, here comes the chopping block.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it's dozens upon dozens upon dozens of people are, you know, fired on a Friday and given their pink slips to go home.
Was it really on a Friday? Friday was the day?
Friday was usually the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess they didn't want disgruntled people coming.
I don't remember that type of stuff. Yeah. Okay.
But it was, point being, it was, wow, we've got all these big clients. However, if we lose one big client, we lose a significant percentage of our staff. And then the opposite was true. Oh my gosh. We want a big client.
Yeah, let's hire 30 people.
Time to go out and hire 30 new people. So there was a lot of ebb and flow of people coming, employees coming and going.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And I remember that feeling of like, oh, we lost a client. And just that...
dread?
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Am I good? Oh, no, I'm still working on this account. I think I'm probably safe, but I'm not really sure. So I think that was another thing that I learned was I didn't... Again, unbeknownst to me, and in hindsight, didn't want to have a place where it was so dependent on an anchor client.
Yeah.
to be able to retain staff and employees.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't want to pass that dread on to anyone else. Another funny anecdote, we had a big orange juice client at the time, and I remember we had in the media department, we were working on this, and we had all the spots running nationally, of course, and a spot, we had two spots that ran on Ellen, on her daytime TV show, and the account director came flying down the elevator one morning and threw a tantrum. Total hissy fit about how in the world could we run the spot on Ellen.
That's crazy.
And I just remember my media director at the time, she was great, stood up and I think the quote was, what do you think, lesbians don't drink orange juice?
Insane.
Which is total insanity. And I think that lesson was like, wow, there's a lot of non-common sense going on here.
Yeah.
Like, this is crazy. And account directors, and this isn't an affront to all account directors, of course, but that got in the way of what seemed to make sense in the best interest of the client.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
So it was just sort of this weird, unnecessary layer that not only created an inefficiency, but was just flat out wrong.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Those were a few things I'll come back later and talk about how we kind of rounded the corner on some of the things. But what about you?
Well, that kind of reminds me of like one of the things I learned, I guess, in large agency land too, was just actually how far removed the client is from the creative process. So to your point about the Ellen story, right? And the account director freaking out about, oh my God, how could we run on this scenario, right? It was amazing to me that, you know, clients talk to the account team, brief the project, whatever the case may be, right? The account team then briefs the creative department after they schedule it with traffic and production, of course, right? To launch the project. Then it's like, it's an internal battle for jump rope and loopholes and things, right? Mm-hmm. It's, you have to create, you know, your creative strategy and whatever your creative output is, whatever the assignment is, right? But then you have to like internally sell that to your account team,
right?
Before that even gets to the client, right? And it was amazing to me how many times internally great ideas would die on the vine, or account people would just subjectively clip things because they didn't like it or they didn't understand it or whatever the case may be, right? And it was, well, you know, you're not actually the target audience, or you're not actually the client. Like, how can you internally kill this?
Nor are you a creative.
Yeah, exactly, right? So, you know, you create these 10 little pieces of creative, you know, show them to the, you know, you have all these internal jumps you have to go through, right? Then you get it past the account folks that's got to go to the account director or whoever the case may be that might be pitching it, right? Maybe creatives are in that room when they get to show it to the client, maybe not, right? And then you get these interesting clients too sometimes where, you know, some of them are great and totally understand everything. Some of them aren't the target audience for their own projects and apply their own subjectivity to it, right? Which is interesting. So you've got like two or three different hoops you got to jump through before it even potentially has the idea of getting a yes or no. I found that kind of bizarrely, incredibly inefficient, right? Instead of showing clients, you know, here's a big creative output, a bunch of different ideas, right? And shepherding them through it. It was really more what the account directors enjoyed, you know?
Well, it's almost like, right, it's almost like there sometimes was this perception or misperception rather that the creatives are these wonderful, talented bunch of
Weirdos
back there, and they're brilliant at making things look pretty and cool, and write fun headlines and things.
Yeah,
they don't get the strategy.
Yeah, they don't understand strategy.
Yeah. They don't understand that.
Yeah, it's very strange.
And I think that then just sort of rounding the corner on some of those lessons, I think for us, and we never even really, it's not like we set out and really discussed it. I think we both just knew these things and kind of agreed with them. In other words, it's not like we set out with a plan and said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to have this agency where it's incredibly efficient. We're going to design it this way and design it that way. I think we both just intuitively understood how account management works, understood how traffic works, understood how media, understood all of the different parts of an agency, but then also had really learned unintentionally how debilitating of a process that can be, and inefficient,
Yeah.
And uninspiring.
I mean, another, I totally agree with everything you have to say. And another weird sort of side note that echoes that, it still happens to this day,
sure,
actually, with working with large agencies, is like on set, doing the video, doing photography, doing whatever, right? And it's, we've got our shooter, our director, or whomever, right? And their team, lighting, food stylist, whatever the case may be, right? You've got your clients, however many there may be, and then you've got the agency, right? And it is hilarious to me that still to this day, large agencies won't let clients interface with the creatives or with, you know, whoever's shooting
the spot or anything. That are in the same room.
Legitimately in the same studio, right? So it's, oh, no, 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 no. The photographer can't talk to the client who is standing 10 feet away from them.
Right.
They have to go, you know, whisper, okay, is the peanut butter cup in the right spot? You know, and then have these people then turn around and tell. It's so incredibly inefficient. It's like watching a game of telephone happening.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, we're all in the same room.
Yeah.
Like, we could all just talk about this together. It's
and
so
funny.
And
that sounds like an exaggeration, but I promise you that literally is not. And we were talking about that with some guys just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, it happens all the time. It's totally insane.
It's crazy. And I think, but I think also, too, it's like, I mean, A, why does the big agency do that? Well, there are a lot of different reasons that they do that, but one of them right at the very top is billable hours.
For sure, for sure.
We have to charge by time. We have to charge by the hour.
Yeah.
And the more people we have at the photo shoot, the more we get to charge our
client. Absolutely.
Yeah,
there are many, many meetings I was in where you'd have one client on one side of the table and then eight people on the other side.
Yeah.
And I could literally see the client like turning, like the gears turning in their head, like, what are all these people doing in this meeting? And why are they, like, no one's taking, like, who are these people? They don't even work on this business, you know?
Right.
But bam, that's an hour for eight different people.
Right.
You know, charging by time, things like that. It's fascinating. So.
And I think also, too, for us, like, and I can speak for you on this, I feel like, but we both really enjoyed doing the work and always have. And I think that we understood pretty quickly that the best way to get to the best work is to talk to the clients and understand what they're thinking and what they want and what they don't want and not have to worry about anything getting lost in translation.
Yeah.
Playing the telephone game.
Agreed.
As, as it were.
It's to your point. I don't know that we necessarily start out to build this efficiency model. And that was in the employee handbook on day one where we wrote the business plan.
You mean?
Yeah, the business plan. Yeah.
Very extensive.
Yeah. But it just kind of naturally, organically, call it common sense, right? In terms of what's in the best interest for not only the client, but sort of the mission objective, right? The creative output itself. It just, they naturally tie together in terms of having direct access to the people actually working on your business seems to make a lot of sense.
Right, so, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, efficiency is king. I think we say it all over our site.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that if you had to package up all the lessons that we learned about how to not build an agency, I think that's, you'd put them under that umbrella.
Probably.
The inefficiencies that we saw on so many levels.
Any other wacky large agency stories, what not to do?
Get caught making out with one of the employees in an elevator.
That'll do it. That's
I wouldn't recommend that.
That's definitely not in the, that's not in our business plan either.
No, yeah. Wouldn't recommend that.
Okay.
That was weird.
Oh, I love it.
There you go. Sound effect. What about you? Anything else come to mind?
No, I think, you know, it's again, to your point, Rob, it's all about efficiency. I just remember, you know, to your point of being enthralled with all these people and all this stuff, right? It's just the big floor of, oh my God, look at all these people doing all these things, right?
Yeah.
But then being a creative director at one of those large firms and realizing that there's 100 people on this floor and like 12 people actually do all the work.
Yeah.
Like everyone else is really just a function of the process.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I'm excluding like HR and finance and things like that. Like, but just from a creative aspect, just a client servicing, you know, business needs, right? It's like, you know, 12 people. I just remember being so incredibly frustrated with, man, I'm in an airport designing things on a trackpad on an old gigantic suitcase of a MacBook, you know, and nobody back at the ranch can do this, you know? And it's like, no, there's like 10 people that basically do all the work. The rest of them aren't doing anything. They're just scheduling things and pushing the work through the, you know, through the machine, if you will.
Yeah.
Right. So it's just incredibly disappointing.
I guess. And I think also too, and when you think about when you think about big agencies of the past, and when I was there in the aughts, in the 2000s and late 90s, remember the trend was, I mean, there was so much money flying around.
Oh God, that 90s money?
Oh my God.
The end of the 90s and early aughts.
Hey everybody, we just got 4 new pool tables.
Yeah.
There's a foosball room now.
Yeah.
We've got every full bar set up everywhere.
And did you guys have web van deliveries? Remember web van?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we had web van come into the office.
Yeah.
We used to have a refrigerator full of Starbucks Frappuccinos.
No, nobody paid for lunch. We didn't pay for our lunch, which
That's
was great.
That's a good point.
And then it was a given that, like, because we were right on Peachtree, and what's that?
Yeah.
Behind it where all those bars and stuff are. I forget what they call that.
Now it's called Streets of Buckhead. Is that what you're talking about? No,
back where, like, Cosmopolitan and all. No, not.
Oh.
I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Point being, we used to have these just gluttonous happy hours, like 3 or 4 days a week, where the company paid for everything.
Wow.
And so I think you saw that with all this extra money. And it's funny because then you saw that same thing happen too now at like all the Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
And they're all trimming the fat now too. Yeah. And it's everybody kind of swells and is very gluttonous and then kind of comes back down to earth. So we will buy you lunch if you come to our agency. I don't want you to think that you're there's no food in the fridge.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting to think about, just pull the memory strings here on what it was like in large agency land, you know, what I mean? Versus kind of our business model and how we approach it.
Yeah, so. I think we'll dive into some of those specific things as we go down the podcast road.
Yeah, I've got a great story about packaging and color blindness. Remember that one?
Is that a tease?
That's a tease.
Ooh.
Maybe we'll pick that up in the next episode.
All right. Well, until next time then.
Yeah.
All right, thanks everybody.
All right, play us out.
I don't know who the everybody is, I'm thinking.
You don't know who it is? The colorblindness?
No, who the everybody says, thanks everybody.
Oh.
It's the everybody. Anybody? Thanks anybody.
Listeners.
Oh, yeah.